Hi there, folks. Welcome to another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show, coming to you from New Zealand. And with me today, I have Leo Hyman in Georgia, USA. And Leo, as usual, there's plenty of things to talk about. Never a shortage, never a dull moment. So welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Tony. You are certainly right about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a matter of where do you start? What do you start with?
Right.
So I guess maybe we could have a quick look at the whole thing with the Epstein files, more of them being released over the weekend. It's kind of never a dull moment with that one either. I just can't believe how many files there actually are.
Yeah, they released, what, 3 million over the weekend?
Some crazy amount. Yeah.
And how many more are left? I think millions more. I mean.
I mean, you and I don't keep that much record of our lives, do we? That you'd have millions of pages worth of stuff. It's like, it's just pretty insane, really. But
well, there's quite a number of people involved. I mean, President Trump's name, I think, was the second or third most frequently mentioned name in the 3 million documents that were released this weekend. He says it exonerates him. Other people would beg to differ with that. And you remember, he's the one who said it was all a hoax just a few months ago. So it sure is a lot of documents, millions and millions more for something that was a hoax. Do you think that the Department of Justice, largest law enforcement investigative machine in the world, would have spent that much time investigating or at least collecting documents about a hoax?
No, absolutely not. And I think what it is just trying to cover up people for people, because everyone in all walks of life in power seems to be implicated in one way or another. So,
I mean, there's one person in there whose name is redacted that says he enjoyed the torture videos. He really enjoyed those torture videos. I mean, who talks like that? And if they have his name, they obviously do, or you know, they wouldn't have redacted it. Then why isn't there an open investigation on that person to bring him to justice? I mean, are we supposed to believe he was just maybe making that up in this email exchange? It didn't sound like it was a joke. You know, there's just no background or context given to any of these documents that have been released. And yet we see the assistant or deputy attorney general came out yesterday, I believe it was, and told CNN, this is Mr. Todd Blanche, deputy attorney general, that he didn't expect there would be any new charges filed against anyone as a result of this latest document dump. Well, if I had been the CNN interviewer, I would have said, well, how can you say that? Have you followed up with every single accusation that's in these documents? Accusations and statements about rape, torture, and murder? Have you talked to the victims? Because we know who the victims are. Most of them have come out and identified themselves. It just seemed like an awful odd statement to come from the deputy attorney general to CNN yesterday. I don't quite understand it. I'm really perplexed and mystified about the whole thing.
Well, it seems to me that there are just so many powerful and influential people that have been tied up in this. It's like they're just going to ring fence each other in a sense. And I just don't think they can afford to let too much come out and too many things go to trial, because if anything does and charges are laid and things go to trial, then it just brings out more and more information into the public eye and more people will be exposed. What's pretty obvious is that there are just so many big-named famous people on both sides, whether they're conservative or leftist, that are on or have been on Jeffrey Epstein's island or somewhere in his list of people that he's been dealing with.
Well, yeah, and there's some of the most salacious allegations, statements in there were about Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can't tell me that President Trump didn't know this about Bill Gates. And, you know, he had him at a White House state dinner a few months ago, sitting next to his wife, Melania, enjoying the royal treatment at the White House. So it seems to me like they're all part of the same club, Tony, and they cover for each other. And some are maybe worse than others, but they all cover for each other.
Yeah.
Is that what it seems like to you?
It absolutely does. And I mean, see, Elon Musk's name's appeared in there too, and he sort of said, oh, he didn't really understand what Epstein was asking. And yet here he was asking, oh, you know, have you got any more big parties coming up on your island? You know, it's like, come on, you know, what did he think?
Right, but then he acts like he doesn't know what kind of parties were held on the island. Yeah. I'm sure it was just, you know, maybe they went bowling together. Maybe they, you know, it was all just on the up and up, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. It's just, that's what I'm saying. It's just all of these people with all this money and all this power.
Yeah.
And we don't know how far that actually goes. And so it's just hard to see.
And you know what else some people are reporting, and I think it's true. It just verifies all of the worst conspiracy theory, you know, things that were called conspiracy theories, right? I mean, we knew all along there was at least some truth to this stuff. Remember the whole Pizzagate thing a few years ago? That was all denounced and debunked and fact-checked and totally discredited as conspiracy theory. But some of the stuff that's in this latest round of Epstein files sounds eerily similar to the Pizzagate controversy, and some of it even worse, I have to say. So it just seems like, once again, the conspiracy theorists come out smelling like a rose. Everything we said was apparently, maybe we even underestimated just how evil some of these people are. you know, it nobody gets off the hook. Nobody, Democrats are implicated, Republicans are implicated, all of our law enforcement, federal law enforcement at least, is implicated, because what have they been doing all these years, sitting on all this information? The state of Israel is implicated. Epstein all but comes out and says that he's affiliated with the state of Israel. And I think at one point he says he works for the Rothschilds, or represents the Rothschilds, I think is how he worded it. You know, the CIA, the Mossad, MI6, all of these intel agencies, none of them are clean. None of them are good guys. I just don't know how we take anything seriously from here on out. All of the wars that we get in, you know, in the Middle East and elsewhere, seem to be started and provoked by these same billionaires. The whole COVID thing, same people. You know, so it really is a dark, dark age that we live in. Donald Trump could not be further from the truth when he says we've entered a new golden age of America and everything's going to be wonderful. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Donald Trump is a deceiver, and he's trying to make Americans feel good about themselves and good about their country at a time when we should be on our knees crying out to God, saying, please have mercy on this country, and repenting.
Yes, and it was interesting. I don't know how long it was up, but on the White House, government White House website, down a sidebar on the left at one point there, just recently, I know John Haller sent me a photograph. It said, welcome to the golden age, on the White House
I saw the same thing. In fact, I screenshotted it. Yeah, I can actually show you it. I could not believe it when I went to the White House website and I saw that. It came up like as a pop-up. It flashed up and on the screen. Welcome to the golden age. Oh, my gosh. I mean, just incredible. Here it is right here. You know, I don't know if you can see it or not, but welcome to the golden age. So whitehouse.gov.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, they want us to live in this false reality of America's great. America has the moral high ground and has the right to be the policeman of the world because, you know, we're so moral over here. And nothing could be further from the truth. Every foreign policy intervention over the last several decades has ended in a lot of blood and death for Christians, whether it be Syria, Iraq, Libya, you know, go right on down the line. It's the Christians who have suffered the most around the world from U.S. intervention. And now we're getting ready to do it again in Iran, which, by the way, if you saw Marco Rubio testifying at the U.S. Senate, I think it was Thursday or Friday of last week, one of the senators asked him, what is the plan, Mr. Secretary of State Rubio, for after the regime change? You know, if we go in and we take out the government of Iran, what is the plan to replace it? Who's going to be the new government? He literally said, in a nutshell, he doesn't know. We can hope for the best, he said. So, but we really don't know. It's a very complex question. And there's a lot of different complex actors in Iran, and we really can't predict which one will end up being in power. I mean, it was unbelievable. So you're telling me, Mr. Secretary of State, that you're willing to risk American lives, go in, kill a bunch of people in Iran, not even knowing what the final outcome will be. It's just a crapshoot. I mean, this is insanity, total insanity. And you got the neocons here in America just, you know, pressuring Trump. You know, it seems like he's backed off for the second time back January 14th or thereabouts. The same thing happened. He was getting all ready. It sounded like he was ready to pull the trigger and do a major invasion attack on Iran. He pulled back. The same thing this weekend. We were told that he was within 24 to 48 hours of launching the attack on Iran. Here we are Monday. That was Friday, Saturday, when we were hearing that. Still no attack on Iran. You almost have to wonder, is he encountering, either he's pushing back and saying, no, I don't want to do this. I don't think, you know, because President Trump is all about quick in and out, massive PR blitz about a big win. You know, he wants to look good with a quick, fast, overwhelming victory. And either he's not getting intelligence that would from the military that would convince him that's possible. And so he has to keep adjusting the strategy, or, you know, he really does want to pull the trigger on it, but he's getting resistance from some of the top military echelon. You almost have to wonder what's going on here, because this is the second time now where they've come right up to the edge where they're supposedly getting ready to launch the attack, and then they pull back. It was similar, though, I have to say, in the Venezuelan operation. Remember, they were talking about that for 2 or 3 months before they actually pulled the trigger on it. So it may just be all one big psyop, you know, to keep the Iranians and everybody else off balance, make them think, oh, maybe we're not going to invade, and then go ahead and do it when they least expect it.
It is hard to know exactly what is going to happen with that situation. And obviously a lot of people would love to see that Iranian regime fall, because it is truly evil. There's no doubt about it. But like you say, replaces it?
What government right now in the world, especially in light of the Epstein files?
Yeah.
What government of a major international entity, country, whatever, isn't evil.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has the moral high ground right now, is what I'm saying, to call the Iranian government evil to the point where we, the righteous ones, need to go in and replace it. I mean, what is righteous about raping little girls and torturing them and covering it up? How is that more evil than what we see going on in Iran? I would love to get somebody in the neocon community to answer that question for me.
Yes, well, that's true. And overall, the whole Western system, financial system and everything just is so rigged and fake and phony, but it's propped up constantly and made to appear, you know, like you say, that the West is the righteous, and America particularly, the leader of this great righteous Western world, and the rest of it is so wicked and evil. And the reality is, to me, looking at it, is like the whole Western financial system is based on criminal activity, really, and should be criminal, but it's legalized crime, really, because the government's, you know, called the shots. And so, and you look at the
100%.
Yeah. You look at the rest of the world, I mean, it's not any better, but
you know, if the CIA is running drugs, it's okay. But if Maduro's running drugs, it's a big international crime and he needs to be put on trial. We know the CIA has been one of the biggest, if not the biggest, drug trafficker in the world for decades.
Yeah.
The whole time that the U.S. was in charge of Afghanistan, they were growing and exporting poppy, you know, cocaine. Yeah, it's just one big smokescreen to give this perception of righteousness on behalf of the U.S. and the West. They have to do that in order to justify, you know, all of the military interventions over the years. You know, they fearmonger about China and Russia and how they're this big military threat. But if you take a look at the last 50 years or, you know, post-World War II, the last 80 years, and you look at how many times Russia and or China have invaded another sovereign state, and you even combine those two countries' military interventions in other sovereign states and compare it to the U.S., it's like, is it the pot calling the kettle black?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the United States that is the aggressive military power in the world and has been for, as I said, more than 50 years. And am I supposed to believe that every time the U.S. did an intervention, it was for righteous reasons? You know, every time we do it, it's actually based on a lie. You know, Iraq, it was weapons of mass destruction. You know, no, it wasn't. It was Saddam Hussein wanting to sell his oil in non-dollar currencies. You know, same with Assad in Syria. Oh, he gassed his own people. Yeah, that was never proven. But as soon as they took him out of power and did a regime change, now it's wholesale open season on Christians and Alawites. The same thing with Gaddafi in Libya. There's been on and off attacks continuously in Somalia for like the last 35, 40 years by the United States. Are those people any better off in Somalia? It seems to be in a perpetual state of civil war. So I would just like somebody to show me one time in the last 50, 60 years how a U.S. intervention ended up in a better life for the people of that country.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, absolutely. Changing tack a little bit, what about what's going on with the whole AI and the move for the surveillance? And I know you did an article about kill switches in cars. And yes. Perhaps we could go a little bit down this track.
Yes, that article got a lot of traction, actually. One of my most well-read articles I've done on my Substack in the last year. And all it was doing is pointing out how the Biden administration included buried in its 2021 infrastructure bill, there was this language buried in that bill was like over 2,300 pages. Buried in those pages was a mandatory vehicle remote kill switch on all new vehicles produced in the United States or imported from to the United States, effective in 2026. Okay, and so now here we are in 2026. We have a new president, Donald Trump, who acts like he's against everything that Joe Biden did, and everything Joe Biden did is evil. Well, he had his chance here. If he really was against the freedom-killing remote vehicle kill switch, he had his opportunity to get rid of it when Thomas Massie authored an amendment to the bill and put it to a House floor vote to kill that mandate, okay? And say, no, this Biden-era legislation, we're not going to let this take effect here in January 2026. What happened? 57 Republicans voted with almost all Democrats. I think there was 4 Democrats who were actually good on this one. 57 Republicans and almost all Democrats voted together to defeat Thomas Massie's amendment, which would have put an end to the remote vehicle kill switch. So now every vehicle that comes off the assembly lines, every vehicle that's imported into the United States starting this year will have to be outfitted with some government accessible kill switch where the government can disable your vehicle when and where it wants. All it has to do is say that you are an irresponsible driver, you fall asleep at the wheel, you drink too much, this, that, or the other. It's kind of like the red flag laws that Trump advocates as well, where they can take your guns, as Trump said, let's take the guns first, worry about due process later. It's the same thing with the vehicle kill switch. Let's go ahead and disable their vehicle right now. We'll worry about proving our case later as to why the government thought that this person was a reckless or irresponsible driver, and we had to, you know, shut down their vehicle. This is Orwellian authoritarian, totalitarian government at its best. I mean, think if the Nazis had something like this, or Stalin, you know. I mean, say goodbye to the freedom of movement, basically. I mean, they can disable your vehicle now, the government can, whenever they want, and claim that you're just an irresponsible, reckless driver. So to me, Trump is a complete buffoon, a complete fraud. He's not for freedom. He could care less about our Constitution. He's also now arguing against the Second Amendment. That came out as a result of the whole Alex Preddy shooting in Minnesota. You know, you can argue whether or not Preddy was a good guy, bad guy, deserved to be shot and killed or what, but he was legally carrying his firearm that day, and he was not just legally carrying it, he was responsibly carrying it. He never brandished it, as Kristi Noem and some of the other Trump administration officials tried to say. Brandishing means you are wielding your pistol, you know. He never did that. He never drew it out of his holster. It stayed in his holster, his inside the waistband holster, the entire time. He had a license to carry. He did absolutely nothing wrong as is regards to carrying the firearm. So the firearm should have never been an issue as to whether it was justified or not for him to be shot by those ICE officers. But President Trump seized on that whole thing and said that, you know, he was carrying a gun to a protest and he had 2 loaded magazines. That's bad stuff, really bad stuff. We can't let that happen, he said. Wait a minute. Where did we ever have it that your Second Amendment rights ended at a protest. I don't see that anywhere in the Constitution. I don't see that anywhere in the Second Amendment. I don't see that in Minnesota laws. I don't see that in federal laws. That was a complete fabrication by Donald Trump. And of course, all of his sycophants ran with the same talking points. Why did he bring a gun to a protest? Oh my gosh, he must have been a bad guy. He was looking to do maximum damage, as Kristi Noem and some of the others were saying. Cash Patel, you know, they were all lying their tails off with regard to this case as it involved this gun. He never drew it from his holster the entire time, even after he was pepper sprayed by the ICE officers, even after he was tackled to the ground by a mob of 5 or 6 ICE officers. He never drew the gun. I mean, I can't imagine if I was in that situation, if I was mobbed by 5 or 6 burly officers like that, if I had a gun on me, I can't promise you I wouldn't have drawn it and shot at them just to defend my life. So this guy was beyond what could be expected of a legal, responsible gun owner, and yet that became the focal point of the Trump talking points, that we need to stop people from carrying guns to protest. He and Cash Patel also went on national TV and said the same thing, that anyone caught carrying a gun to a protest will be treated as a criminal. He actually said that. He either doesn't know the law and the Constitution, or he's lying through his teeth. I would submit that he's probably lying. I can't believe he went through law school and never read the Second Amendment, Tony.
Yes, it's definitely, well, the whole thing's like crazy, looking like civil war type of stuff going on. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's an overstatement, but there's certainly division, you know, around this whole thing to do with immigration, ICE. And
well, see, I wrote an article also on my Substack that people could find. It's definitely worth reading. That what we see going down in Minnesota has absolutely little to nothing to do with illegal immigration. That is the big sticking point that has people hung up. They're thinking, oh, he's deporting, you know, hundreds of thousands of illegals. So we got to support these ICE officers. They're trying to just make us safe. They're doing their job, their job, their job, their job. How many times have I heard that? But when you look at the numbers, and I did, and I included them in my article, Trump is not deporting any more illegals than Biden or Obama did. He's in his first year in office, he deported, I think it was 571,000 illegals. That's roughly the same as what we got per year under Obama and Biden. So don't believe this psyop that Trump is rounding up, a million illegals a year, and he's going to rid us of, the drain on our the Treasury and all the criminals. And, you know, I am 100% for deporting illegals who are A, on welfare, and B, have committed a crime, any crime, drunk driving. Whether it's drunk driving, murder, or rape, it doesn't even have to be necessarily a violent crime, but yes, those should be the priority. But the people who are committing crimes, drugs, rapes, murders, as I said, drunk driving, that's a bad habit that can kill people. Or if they're on any type of government assistance, food stamps, aid to women with dependent children, you name it, any form of welfare, deport them. I'm 100% in favor of that. But I'm seeing a lot of people that just are random illegals, you know, roofers, landscapers, hotel maids being rounded up, and then they can put a check, we got one. And in fact, Cash Patel, the DHS has put a quota in place. If, you know, these agents have to meet a certain quota of people that they've detained for deportation, and that's why they're going for the low-hanging fruit, okay? It's much easier to round up roofers and landscapers than it is, you know, hardened gang, violent gang members and Chinese nationals, men of military age. 100,000 of them came in during the Biden administration. Why aren't they being rounded up, okay? No, because this quota system encourages them to get the low-hanging fruit. Get the people who are not violent. They're not causing any distress or discomfort or pain among the American people. I'm not saying they shouldn't eventually be deported, but they shouldn't be the priority, okay? And yet that's what we see happening. We see women being pulled out of vehicles. We see old men being pulled out of their homes. These shouldn't be the first priorities of a mass deportation program. We should be seeing hardened criminals, Chinese spies, and people like that in the first round of people that ICE is going after. But I'm just not seeing it. And even with the them focusing on the easy ones, their numbers are still not any bigger than Biden or Obama. And this is what most of the Trump supporters are just, I guess, not aware of, because you're not going to read this in the conservative media. A lot of conservative media is invested in this administration. They are making money by printing articles that make this administration look good. So they're not going to tell you the facts and give you the numbers. That's where people, independent media like myself, you're going to have to search out people like us in order to get the full truth here. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a completely distorted view of what's going on.
Now, the thing is, too, if you have federal agents with masks on and body armor and heavily armed and they're yanking people off the streets and that type of thing that are supposedly illegal aliens, but it just gets that whole thing into people's psyche because it's on the news, it's on your websites, it's everywhere you see this, and it becomes potentially accepted as normal. And then what happens when it's not illegal immigrants, but if you have somebody that's an anti-Christian person comes into power down the track and finds another excuse to start rounding up people that have some kind of disagreement with the government. And by then it's all in everyone's psyche to see this stuff going on as normal. And that's what 100%. I see. Yeah.
I make the same article in one of my articles is the same argument in one of my articles as well, as you just very well pointed out there, Tony. It's a precedent that has been set. Yeah. This militarization of our cities, you know, they call them federal agents, federal officers, but they're outfitted like military.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't believe some of the gear I'm seeing on these guys. You know, and it gets in the psyche, right? And once you see it, you can't unsee it. Of, you know, I would wager that most conservatives haven't seen it, because the way the algorithms work right now, unless you're a researcher like myself who goes looking for all this stuff, you're not going to see. Say you're just Joe Schmo conservative. The algorithms know your politics. They know you voted for Trump or support Trump. And so when you log on, when you go into YouTube or X or any of these social media platforms, you're not going to have videos come up. TikTok is well now. You're not going to have videos come up that show ICE beating an elderly woman or ICE, you know, making an elderly man walk out of his house in his underwear in freezing cold weather. Those videos are going to come up for the left, okay? People who voted for Kamala Harris. Just like if it was shoe was on the other foot and Biden was doing this, we would now be getting, the algorithms would be showing the conservatives, the government, you know, oppressing the people. Because of the way social media trains people and nudges them in a particular direction, American conservatives are just not aware of what's been going on. They really think that ICE is out there, you know, making us safer, getting rid of the violent gang members, and like I said, focusing on that sort of thing, when really they're just out there rounding up roofers and landscapers and hotel maids. And we're not aware of it because of the AI-driven algorithms that feed our existing bias, I guess is a way to describe it, and keeps us in an echo chamber where we're only seeing one side of an issue. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And imagine if you mentioned Stalin and Hitler earlier. I mean, if they had the AI that we have now,
yes,
imagine how they would have used it. So,
absolutely. And so, yeah, you know, we've got all these data centers being built. So I don't expect that that's going to reverse anytime soon. I expect it to intensify, where the algorithms will tighten their grip on people's thought processes. You know, things that would perhaps upset their assumptions, because right now you've got the left thinking only the right is evil, and you've got the right thinking only the left is evil, when the fact is, at the top levels, they're both just as evil.
Yeah.
They may come at the issue in a little different way with very different language, but the end result is always towards greater and greater centralized government power. That has never been more clear to me than this first year of the Trump administration. Everything President Trump has done on practically every issue has resulted in greater centralized power, state power. And it was the same under Biden. So, you know, this idea that the right is the good guys and the left is the bad guys, until you can get out of that left-right paradigm, you know, and if you're on the left, obviously it's the reverse. The right is the bad guys and the left is the good guys. Until you can get out of that paradigm, you're never going to see what's really happening in this country, because you're just focused on how can we get even with our enemies. You're not focused on how is our country moving towards restoring freedom and personal freedom, individual liberty, and autonomy, as opposed to the government controlling our lives. That's what I look at. I don't look at whether a truth is coming from the right or the left. I just try to find out, is it true or not? Okay. That's what I would advise more people to do, is break out of that left-right paradigm. Start looking at videos from the other side and then investigating how much of it or any of it is true or not. And then, you know, maybe the algorithm will ease up on you a little bit, and you'll start getting more information from all sides as opposed to just one side. And, you know, you might be able to make a more informed decision on everything from voting, if it still matters, to basic life issues. I mean, stop living in the matrix, I guess, is what I'm saying. Break out, start to think critically and independently.
Absolutely. And I personally have always believed that there's the same people controlling both parties and both sides,
yes,
of everything in pretty much every country, working towards global government. And then ultimately we have Satan or Lucifer working towards that above all of them and calling the shots. Could you give us where people find you online?
Sure. LeoHoman.com. I've got that as my longtime website, but my Substack is actually where I'm posting more frequently now, leohoman.substack.com. You can sign up for a free subscription or a paid subscription. If you take out a paid subscription, you have access to all the archives, not just the most recent two or three articles. I'm also on Telegram, Leo, you can search me on Telegram if you have that platform, Leo Homan author/journalist, and you'll pull up my channel, public channel there on Telegram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with me again on the show today. It's been awesome to have you again.
Always a pleasure, Tony. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thanks, Leo. Also, folks, don't forget us at aminutetomidnight.com. Subscribe to our website and also our YouTube channel and our Apple Podcast channel and so forth. And we do run it 100% by donations. Always appreciate people that do donate. And if anyone is able to help us, you can do that by donating at aminutetomidnight.com. God bless, and God willing, we'll be back in a few days' time with our next show.